Lord, we do thank you, we love you, and we bless you, Lord. We pause to bless you. We just don't want to just receive, Lord. We want to give. We want to give you what's due, the glory that's due to your name. You've been so good to us throughout the year. You've been leading, you've been guiding, God. You've been speaking to us so strong through your word, speaking directly to our heart, downloading, giving us information how to live, how to give, how to forgive, based upon your word, Lord. It's just amazing. So we pause right now to say thank you corporately. We bless you, Lord, for who you are. We love you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for giving us your word. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's a light, it's a lamp, and it's life. It leads, it guards, and it speaks. Thank you for your word. We open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to us this morning. Holy Spirit, fall fresh. Give us the strength, give us the ability to discern, to hear what you're speaking to us today. We love you for that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have been on the series, the I Am Statements. So we've done the I Am the Bread of Life, I Am the Light of the World. And so now we've been on I Am the Good Shepherd, as opposed to a bad shepherd. Amen? Unfortunately, we got bad shepherds out there as well. So we've been studying the Word. We're able to distinguish the good from the bad. And so, family, I don't know how much I can just stress to you, because there's so much deception out there today. But Jesus told us it would be like that. Paul told us it was like that in the days of Elijah. So it's nothing new, but I guess God's just given us the mandate because it's coming from so many directions. These days, as we talked about in the men's fellowship, all you need is one thing to deceive you, and you're way out somewhere. So it's so much out there, but you don't need so much. All you need is one thing. But what helps us to understand what's going on is the Word of God. So we're at verse 3, amen? We talked about this last week, and as he sat upon the mount of Olives. Jesus had just come from the temple. He already just called the religious leaders, the Pharisees. He called them snakes, a brood of vipers, and he just went off in the temple. So now he sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately. So you should have privately underlined, because family, you got to have your private time with Jesus Christ. You got to have your private time when you talk to him. I don't know. I was speaking yesterday at an event for a ministry event. And I was telling the parents there, if your kids are spending 3 hours on social media and 3 minutes in the Word, they are going to be deceived each and every day of the week. Somebody say amen. And if for us that are not so young or so youthful, if we're spending 3 hours a day at TV and whatever we're doing and 3 seconds in the Word, we're going to be deceived. You have to know what the Word says, because it's just a little, if it's off just a little bit, it's heresy. If it's taken out of context ever so slightly, it's still heresy. But if you're not spending time with Jesus, if you're not spending time in the Word, then you don't know what's real, you don't know what's make-believe, because it's very similar. So they got with him privately. Says, tell us when these things should be and what should be the sign of the coming of the end of the age. Look what Jesus tells them verse 4 first. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, be aware that no person, and when I looked up man, it wasn't mankind, it was a certain person. Be careful that certain people don't lead you away from the truth. That's what deceive means. Make sure that it's not certain people that's leading you away from the truth. That's the first thing he told them. Family, I can't stress that enough. Whether that's at school, whether that's at home, whether that's at your job, whether that's social media, whether that's mainstream media, Jesus said, you better be aware, because there's people out there, bad shepherds, that want to lead you, deceive you, which means to lead you away from the truth. But if you don't know the word, then you don't know the truth. And I was thinking that, you know, this, I don't know if this is the biggest issue facing the church today, deception. Members being led away from the truth. You know, almost every cult that's got started, the founder of that cult was first in the church. Whether it's Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness or whatever it is, they started in the church. And then they wanted to change it just a little bit and start their own thing. That's almost every cult that's been started. They were upset with the church because they couldn't do their own thing. So they wanted to just twist it a little bit and say, no, this is a doctrine we're going to stand on. So, family, we got to be really careful, especially in these last days. So, it's interesting how people will leave this book written by God, written by men, inspired by God, and go get into another book, which we know is pretty much influenced by Satan, and say, oh, no, I don't believe this. This has been tampered with, but this right here, this is real. Right? I mean, it's just, it forces you to challenge where you are. It looks at you in the mirror. The word is a mirror. It's a lamp. It's a light. It illuminates your heart. And when you look at it, you got to look away because that sin is still there. So this has been tampered with, but I'm going to go get into this one, which makes me feel good. That tells me what I want to hear, and I'm going to believe it. Although it was written by a man who we're pretty sure was born in sin and influenced by Satan. In most cases, if not all. And so I'm like, so it's and our youth and our young adults, you all have to be really careful because it's too much out there. And then I was thinking, well, maybe I'm just sounding the alarm, the fire alarm, and it's only cigar smoke. Okay, yeah, you know how somebody at the school, they go and pull the fire alarm and it's a false alarm. Maybe I'm just overreacting. And so as I was thinking about it, it took me back to, let's go to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19. Amen? And interesting enough, Elijah had just dealt with some false prophets. And 1 Kings 18, he killed them. He slayed them. And he was feeling sorry for himself, thinking he's the only one. But God said, no, there's still people out there. Somebody say amen. There's still people out there that love God, that's not false prophets, right? That's doing the right thing. Elijah just killed, you all know it, on Mount Carmel. Elijah just killed the prophets of Baal. Sliced them up and all that kind of stuff. And okay, make a note. This year we did Greece and Rome and Turkey. In 21, Lord willing, somebody say, man, Lord willing, we don't know what's going to happen. But the plan is either we're going to do Egypt and Israel or we're going to do Ethiopia, South Africa, and Kenya. Amen? But if we're fortunate enough to do Egypt and Israel, we're going to go to Mount Carmel. And you see the place where Elijah took these false prophets out. It's still there. Somebody say amen. Amen. Was fortunate enough to stand on top of Mount Carmel. And then when you stand on top of Mount Carmel, you look out into, I think it's called, where the place of, what is it, Medio? What, Armageddon? Megiddo? Yeah, that. You guys read your word. Good. I'm glad y'all know. Because I don't, okay? But when you stand on top of Mount Carmel, you look out and that's Megiddo, the place of the Armageddon. It's all still there. It's interesting. And so I'm hoping and praying that we get a chance to go out there. We're planning on it. We'll see what God wants to do and how he leads us. But it's amazing when you go to these places and you see the evidence of what you read in the word. Because if it's in the word, then you should be able. And if it's real and if it's in the word, then you should be able to go to these places and see some evidence. Amen.
Amen.
So we pick it up at chapter 19 and verse 1. And I'm not going to break this down. I'm not going to, because the Lord just let me hear it this morning. So I just want to give you a little of this, and I want to get back to the message. But I want to take you through verse 19 and 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "Man, let me tell you one thing, okay? So let the gods do to me and more, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. So Elijah just did this big, great work for God and gets threatened, and then he leaves. Somebody say amen, all right? Lest you know that even in the midst of your greatest accomplishment, the enemy does not care about that. The enemy is trying to make you walk by fear and not by faith, but you stand strong. Elijah ran. He ran into a cave. He felt sorry for himself. But then God speaks to him. What verse do I want to go to? Go down to verse 10. Oh, well, let's read 9. And he came there unto a cave, and he stayed there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What are you, Elijah, what are you doing here?" Underline that, please. Make a note of that. He's stuck in self-pity. He's feeling sorry for himself, maybe a little bit depressed and despondent and disappointed. And God said, "Well, somebody, God has asked you, what are you doing? You serve the true and living God. What are you doing? Why are you trying to park right here?" We know that it comes and it ebbs and flows, but God said, "Don't you park right here. Don't you park in depression. Don't you park in self-pity. Blow out the candles, get yourself up, and get yourself together. Don't park there. So what, you fail? Get up, don't park there, and start running to me and not from me." Verse 10, he said, "Lord, I've been very zealous for you, and for the children of Israel has forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I only am left. I'm the only one that's dealing with something. And they seek my life to take it away." Please don't think you're the only one dealing with something. Please don't think you're the only one that's trying to serve God. Please don't think you're the only one that's fallen and gets back up, and then fall and get back up and say, "I'm not going to do it again." But then you do it again, and then you say, "I'm the only one that's struggling. That's why I don't want to come to church, because when I walk in, they're all going to look at me and know that I'm struggling with something." Please don't think you're the only one. God said, "What are you doing there? Get up. Not only walk to church, run to church." Verse 11, he said, "Go forth and stand." Somebody underline that, please. Get up, go forth and stand. Lord, speak to your people this morning. Don't stay at the pity party. Don't blow the candles out. Eat the cake, but blow the candles out, and then get up and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Underline that. Family, I can't stress enough how important. Get away from the crowd, get away from the noise, get away from all the drama, and sit and be quiet and let God speak to you in that still small voice. If you don't sit down and spend time with God, you'll never hear it. You got to get those earbuds out of your ear. You got to sit down and you got to listen for God. You got to have your quiet. You got to have your private time with God so he can speak to your heart, so God can encourage you and let you know you're not the only one dealing with something. You're not the only one trying to serve God. You're not the only one trying to live for God. I mean, it seems overwhelming as a pastor. I try not to watch the news or listen to the news, and you hear stuff and you're going, "Does anybody care about God?" God said, "Yes." And you're not the only one trying to live right. Men, you're not the only one. We talk about it all the time, that's having struggles. That's why it's so important to come together in fellowship, so we can see that God is the one who does not change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we stop trying to gain God's favor by works. God's not in the works. It's the grace of God that we're saved, not of works, so we can't brag about saving ourselves. So he came in that still small voice. Lord, thank you. That still small voice speaks to us from God's word. Speaks to us during worship. I don't know if you heard it during worship, but it was given clarity. It was given comfort. It was given strength. It was given peace. That still small voice through the worship. Let's go to verse 18. I tell you, we'll come back another time and pack it up, unpack it, and just wanted to touch on, I want to get back to the message. Verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto these false prophets and these false gods, and every mouth which has not embraced them. So we're not the only one. So I was trying not to sound the alarm, and my wife and I talk about it, not trying to be the prophet of doom, saying it's the sky is falling and all these false prophets and people are deceived. And no, not God. Say, no, it's not all of us. There's still some of us that are standing strong. So let's go back to Matthew and see what we can finish up. Matthew 24. We'll come back to Elijah another time and unpack that chapter 18 and 19. But interesting enough, he was dealing with false prophets. We're dealing with them today. I can almost guarantee at some point this week you're going to talk to someone, you're going to see something that's going to try and deceive you, which means take you away from the truth, start following a lie. Matthew 24 and 4, if you're there, say amen. It says, don't let anyone deceive you. No person, no job, no TV show, no social media, no school, no business, no ministry. Don't you let anyone or anything deceive you. Not the culture, not society, not the community, not the government, not the elected officials. They are not the word of God. We based our life on this foundation, not on the seek and sand of man's word and man's tradition. Look what he says in verse 5, word, the same word again. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall what? Deceive many, lead many, deceive. To be led away from the truth, not to just be led away, but to be led away from the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the and the life. So if they're leading you away from Jesus Christ and telling you there's another way, then you know you're being deceived. And if they're adding to Jesus Christ outside of the context of the word, it's a deception. Verse 6, and we talked about it last, you should hear of wars and rumors of wars. So see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not near. And nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There should be famines, pestilences and earthquakes in different places. It's an earthquake last night. Heard this morning, it's an earthquake 6.9 in the Philippines. Either Jesus was guessing or he's God. All right? Either he's just guessing, because you know it's going to be an earthquake. We talked about that last week when y'all used to go, and some of y'all still go and get your cards and your palm read and all that kind of stuff, and you go and check your horoscope, H-O-R-R-O-R, horoscope. Every day, and won't read your word, but you'll check your horoscope. And we know our sign is a sign of the cross and the empty tomb. I can tell you more if you'd like to know about it. All right. Wait, what sign are you? Yeah, the cross and the empty tomb. Can I tell you more about it? Exactly. All right, and we do know your future. Amen. I can tell you what's going to happen based on the word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. I can tell you how to be saved based on the word of God. Verse 8, all these things are just the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up and be to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We talked about it last week. Let me see what I got. I read 3 last week. I didn't want to read all of the disciples. I still got. So let me read 3 more. We went to Bartholomew, James, Andrew, Peter. Okay, so this is in conjunction with verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. That's not good news. You should be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So when they're listening to this, I don't know if they get it. I know we don't get it because I ain't trying to hear nothing like this. All right. Amen. Thank God it hasn't gotten that bad. We know in some parts of the world it is that bad for Christians. But he's telling these guys this. And Peter, the first pope, fled Jerusalem when King Herod Agrippa started to persecute the Christians in Jerusalem. He preached in Judea, Antioch, and then went to Rome, where he converted thousands to Christianity. And some of us that went, we saw the results of that. This angered Nero, who made the Christians his form of entertainment by feeding them to the lions or dogs at the Colosseum. We were in the Colosseum. We saw that. We saw how they came up out of the floor to entertain them and whatever, the Christians and the dogs, the lions, whatever beasts chased them and ate them and all that kind of stuff. But then we also saw how Constantine came into power in 300, and now it's a big cross in the middle of the Colosseum. Somebody say amen. Peter, who refused to renounce his faith, was crucified at his request upside down. Then we get to Thomas. Thomas was impaled by a spear. He preached in India. He's also buried in India. If we go to the southern tip of India, that's where St. Thomas is buried. That's why the southern tip of India is Christian, because Thomas went over there and preached in India. He was martyred there in Mylapore, where the local king condemned him to death, who thought Christianity disrespected the Brahmins and their caste system. Evidence is still there. James the Great was beheaded. He was John's brother, and he preached in Spain. The Blessed Virgin is said to have appeared to him and asked him to return to Judea. Herod had him beheaded. His body was brought back to Spain, buried in the area where the Santiago de Compostela Cathedral is located. How about I depress y'all with one more? Philip preached in Greece, Syria, and Turkey, finally in Egypt, where in Helopolis he was thrown into prison, scourged, and finally crucified. I'll save the other four for another time. Somebody say amen. Hey, the good news is that because Jesus overcame, they overcame as well. They just transferred right into glory. But he told them. And either he was God or he was guessing. He told them, man, this is going to happen there. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. God help us. Look at, here we go again, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, I wrote that down, iniquity shall abound, lawlessness, wickedness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So I just kind of said, okay, all right, this is what Jesus is saying. This is what Matthew reported. So I wanted to find out what Paul said. So let's quickly go. How much time we have? Okay, we have a little more time. Let's look at what Paul said. Look at 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, amen? 2 Thessalonians, bless you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. So when you get to the epistles, all the T's are together. That's how I like to remember it. You got Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you there, say amen. Let's start at verse 1. Here's Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. Now I'm begging you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Don't be shook behind this, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, or letter asked from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ is approaching. Look at verse 3. It's where I'm trying to go. Let no man what?
See.
By any means. For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Paul says the day of coming. As we get closer to the day of Christ, don't be deceived. Don't be led away from the truth. But many will be. So we can't be surprised at what's happening in our culture today. Setting the scene for the man of sin, the man of perdition, the man of wickedness. Verse 4, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he can replace God and sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I already told you these things was going to happen. Amen. Underline and highlight verse 3. Then Paul speaks again in 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Get there, say amen. Pastor, why are you? I'm trying to tell you, family, you're going to walk out here and people are telling you all kind of things. They're telling you God is not real. The word's been tampered with. That there's another way. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he told us, don't be led away from the truth. Especially in the last days, it's going to be all around us. Now the Spirit, verse chapter 4, verse 1, first Tim. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving, they call them seducing, but in the Greek, deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh my gosh. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. How can people do some of the things they're doing? When your conscience is seared with the hot iron, right? We've all used iron before, amen? Maybe not all. Maybe some haven't. I'm not looking at your clothes either. Maybe you took it to the cleaners. You ain't used iron before. But how can people do and say and act? I mean, it is, I don't know, family. How do you do it? Number one, you're deceived. And then if your conscience is seared with a hot iron, you have no feeling. And that's how you can go somewhere and shoot up everybody in the building. Deception. Conscience seared with a hot iron. All right, let me close this out. Almost close it out with 2 Timothy. Comes back and writes to Timothy again. 2 Timothy 3. Either they're guessing or they're inspired by God. Either Jesus was God or he was guessing. Either Paul is inspired by God as he's writing this, or he's just guessing and making it up and just figure this is how people will be in the last days. Are we at chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 and 1? If you're there, say amen. This know also that in the last days violent times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, greedy, boasters, proud, blaspheming, speaking against God, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and wicked. No natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, slanderers, without self-control, and despisers of those that are good. Are you serious? Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. This definitely sounds like some of our reality TV shows. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such stay away. Sometimes you just have to read the word. It says stay away. All right, let's finish this up. Let's go back to Matthew. So that's Paul's take on it. You can go back and you can study to see if those things were so. Family, all I can tell you is just a lot out there. If you're not fluent in the word, if you're not spending your time with Christ, you're going to be deceived. Jesus has given us a mandate. Are we back at Matthew 24:13? But those that shall endure, so make a note, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. We got to endure, family. Those that will endure until the end, not just the beginning, it's not how you start. God is saying it's not about how you start, but how you finish. Those are the ones that should be rescued. Those are the ones that should be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom of shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Underline, this gospel shall be preached. And that's where you and I come in. So we're not sitting around, we're not despondent, we're not depressed, we're not discouraged. We know we have a job to do. Why? Because there's many false prophets out there now. All kind of stuff that friends or family are caught up in, and we need to be a light. Let our light shine before them. And when we get the opportunity, we plant, we water, but God gives the increase. Amen. Says, but this is the good news, the good tidings. We're talking about Christmas time and good tidings. The gospel means good tidings, good news. This is the message that we take to the world during this season. Amen. Not all the false messages that are out there about Saint Nick and all this other kind of stuff. Bring the gospel. So let's finish it looking at the gospel. Go to Matthew, stay in Matthew 28, of course, where we get our mandate, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, and we'll start at, let's start at verse 12. Just add a little bit of extra for you all. Verse 12, and eight, well, verse 11. Now, when they were going, Jesus had just resurrected, told them, not be afraid. Go gather all the brothers so they can see me, all the disciples. Then we pick it up at verse 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, some of the guards came in the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel. They gave large sums of money unto the soldiers, saying, say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. This is what I need you to say. He didn't resurrect. Say that his disciples came. Now, you know that makes a little sense, but not full sense. Because if they came and stole the body away and Jesus didn't resurrect, when they were being crucified, hung upside down, getting their head cut off, they're going to say, hold up, we didn't. Okay, we stole the body. And it's right around the corner, okay? When I see Jerry's head get cut off, I'm going, wait a minute. Wait, y'all really serious about this, huh? Just playing, just kidding. Hey, I love Jerry, but hey, he took it too far. So around the corner, we came and stole it, and that's where it is. Right? You're not getting impaled with a spear. Who was it? We read last week, Philip, they crucified him upside down and he lived for 2 days. And while he was living, he was preaching the gospel for 2 days while he's upside down dying. And if they actually stole the body, then they knew all that was a lie. Right? I'm upside down for a lie, dying, talking about Jesus as Lord. He's coming back. No, it's not going down like that. Verse 13 again, say ye his disciples came by night and stole away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him not to kill you. Because if you're a Roman soldier, which they put in charge of the tomb, and he escapes or somebody, then they're killing you. So they're saying, make this story up and we'll make sure he doesn't kill you. Verse 15, so they took the money. Somebody say amen, because we would have too. All right. Okay. Anyway, hey, either you die for letting a prisoner escape or the body, or you take the money and tell a lie. Now, most of us, okay, I'm taking the money. I'm telling y'all now. Okay? And did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews today. Are you over in Israel? Oh, no, the disciples stole the body. That's why we don't even believe. And we're still waiting for Messiah there in the year, what, 56, 69 or 50, 56, 70. It's one of those. They don't believe that Jesus split time in half. They're not going to 2020. They're in 5,670, something like that. Why? Because you know what? The disciples came and stole the body, which makes no sense. But you do have the Messianic Jews who still practice the Jewish customs, but they have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. So not all of them believe the lie. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee in a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. So make a note. There you go. So always two types of people, those that believe and those that don't. Those that worship God and those that doubt. And I love this. Then Jesus came and spoke unto them. After he's resurrected, this is why. This is why. And then when in Acts 1:8, when they received the Holy Spirit, that's why the power. But this is why they went to the death for it. Jesus came and spoke to them after he resurrected. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the God we serve. The same yesterday, today, forever. Faithful God who's here to stay. Amen. We sing, it's not just a song. It's the word. It's the truth. It's our Lord. It's our Savior. Amen. Here he is. He's resurrected. And then he says, look, I got all the power now, which I was trying to tell you. Now, family, here's where we come in at. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them about Jesus Christ, teach them about the resurrection. We're going to talk about it next week. When was Christ born? He wasn't born. Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when people say, well, Jesus wasn't born on that day, you're right, because he wasn't born. Then teach them about the gospel. Teach them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even until the end of the world. When they take you out, I'm still there with you. Even when they persecute us and make fun of us, call us Jesus freaks and holy rollers and goody two goody shoes or whatever you kind of shoes you wear. And weird and stupid, Jesus said, I'm still with you even until the end of the world. Amen. And the rest we'll pick up next time. So if you would, just bow your head. I don't know, family. It's not much you can add to that. It's just so much deception out there. It's going to deceive many. Jesus told us. Paul told us. The Word tells us now. Don't be led away from the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about a skin color. It's not about a political party. It's not about an argument. It's not about a job. It's not about a team or a sport. Our money, our business, it's not about any of that. It's about Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. And regardless of what comes our way, our successes and our failures, our highs and our lows, we run to God in each and every situation. Don't let anything lead you away from Jesus Christ. Regardless of what you're going through, don't let anything lead you away from the truth. Just Just like with Elijah, he spoke in that still small voice. God is always speaking. We just have to make sure that we are listening. Get quiet. Get with God. Read his word. Read the Proverbs daily. Pray and fast each morning. Spend time with God. Put on the whole armor of God so you can resist the fiery darts of the enemy. The fiery darts are coming, whether you have on your armor or not. The deception is out there, whether you have on your armor or not. The false prophets are out there, whether you have on your armor or not. But God already told us, so don't be surprised. Preach the gospel. Overcome. Endure. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We have to go. Some things we just have to go through. That's what it means, endure. Some things, family. Stay close to Christ, because some things we just have to go through. But just like Christ overcame, we have that same spirit in us that allows us to overcome. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. We ask that you give us the strength. Give us the strength to overcome, to endure, to share the gospel. Not a lot of scripture, Lord, just the gospel. Plant the seed, someone else's waters, and God gives the increase. Strengthen us for the journey ahead. And let us not be led astray. Give us wisdom so we can discern what's the truth and what's not. And then give us the courage and the strength to read our Bibles daily, to attend Bible study, to attend the Sunday school classes. Get in that word with like-minded believers so that we can walk together, rightly dividing the word of truth so we can live victoriously and experience the abundant life that you have for us, that we live as determined disciples and not defeated disciples. God, we're going to blow out the candles and pity party like Elijah. You told us to get up and stand. There's a lot of people out there that's living for God and taking a stand for Christ. Get up, stand, and preach the gospel. Never have to worry about your purpose anymore. It's to preach the gospel. How you do that, ask God the best way to do it. But God, give us the strength to get started right where we are and right now. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give somebody a hug, and you are dismissed.